Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hi, I'm Mina. Sorry, that was kind of loud. Hi.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Hey, guess what day it is? Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo!
Here we go!
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
All right, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I had the giggles before the show. Michael, our producer. Michael, you're staring at me like, what is wrong with you? I don't know. Sometimes I only had a few sips of Diet Coke, and, you know, sometimes you get the giggles, man. It happens. That's it. Okay?
It's just one of those days.
Right. It's good. Hump day. I felt bad about putting the hump day in the open because people think it's the end of hump day. But this is really our start of hump day. We're just starting work right now. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Big weekend. Aaron Water Show is coming to town. We're going to talk to the announcer, Big Herb. He's been doing it for 32 years. This guy comes to town every single year. He lives in Chicago part of the year, and he's in Florida. And his name is Herb Hunter. He's a former pilot. He is the announcer for the Aaron Water Show, and he's the best. And we'll talk to him tonight right around midnight. Like I said, the mayor is coming on in a few minutes. Anybody want to talk about the casino? Do we have any gamblers on the show? Raise your hand. Anybody?
Ooh, I don't
Michael,
know
I noticed that your hand's down.
I wish I was. You know, I used to play Texas Hold'em back in college and stuff.
Okay.
It was really at its height with Chris Moneymaker, but I always lost, always. So it's not really in the cards.
You gave it up?
Yeah, no pun intended.
No income to just throw down on a blackjack table?
No roulette numbers that have been lucky for me ever. I go to Vegas and I just I'll go and see a show and then.
What do you mean? They have shows in Vegas? I've never seen a show. I never have enough. I've been to Vegas 50 times, easily 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
Twice last year. I've never been to a show ever.
Wow.
I take that back. I have been to one show. I had Penn Jillette on my show like 15 years ago and I went and saw a show. And left halfway through. It's like, okay.
Really? The magic show?
It's magic. And,
it's pretty popular,
and the
too.
Guy doesn't talk.
Yeah, no. Teller does not speak.
Teller doesn't really speak.
You never saw Carrot Top? I know you had him on the show. Wayne Newton.
Oh, I take that back. I'm sorry. I did. No. See, this is what happens. You go to Vegas and you forget everything. Mm-hmm. I have seen Carrot Top, who came to the station. Yes, mm-hmm. I've seen him in Vegas. And I swear to you when I say this, I saw Tom Jones in Vegas. Talk about one of the greatest shows ever. And he does scream, throw your panties on stage. He does. And women throw their underwear on stage.
What?
And when I saw him, he seemed like he was 70. Mm-hmm. And that was 20 years ago. That was the early, like 2005, I want to say, is the last time I saw him.
Jeez.
And he was old then. So I can't imagine. But Tom Jones is one of those guys that has always looked like he was 60 or 70 years old, even when he was 30.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at a photo of him right now. He looks great for... You know how old he is right now? Take a guess.
77.
79.
Oh.
Yep.
All those guys are in their late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, they are up there.
They are. And you know whose birthday it is today, too?
August 14th. Don't say Tom Jones. Really?
No, I think that it's David Crosby's birthday today.
David Crosby? Our guy?
Our guy is 78.
We had him on about a month and a half ago.
I see
all those guys. I mean, David Crosby, 78, still performing. Keith Richards, Mick Jagger. Keith Richards is... Or is it Charlie Watts? Charlie Watts is 79. Keith is 78. Keith is all of 78.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Charlie Watts is acts like he's mid-60s. Same with Mick. Mick seems young, but Keith is... He's an old man.
That's grizzled. And you know what? All great gamblers, too.
Do they?
I don't know.
Are they great gamblers? and has anyone cashed in their 401k yet? Anybody? Okay. Mm-mm. Yeah. The Dow dropped 800 points. Ooh. And you're thinking to yourself, that doesn't really affect me. I don't play the stocks. Yeah, it does. It affects all of us. We're going to talk to Elise Glink at 10:35. I mean, is there a recession that's going to be happening on the horizon? That's what they're speculating right now.
Yeah. With all the marijuana and all these other extra bits of money that are coming in through the government, do you think that we wouldn't have such troubled times?
You would think.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, 800 points. So Elise, who is just the best, she is on loan from the Wintrust Business Lunch. So we'll talk to her right after the 10:30 news. All right, quick break. And the mayor is calling in. We'll talk to her next at 720 WGN. She's always been kind enough to come on my show and share her thoughts and her plan. Let's welcome back the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. Hello, Mayor.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
Madam Mayor, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I feel like you're on the clock 24/7.
Well, listen, it's my pleasure to take time out and chat with you and your listeners.
Let's talk guns first. Very violent weekend again. 4 dead, 47 shot, including an 8-year-old girl shot at a barbecue who's recovering. Last weekend, 7 killed, 48 wounded. You've taken over 6,000 illegal guns off the streets. That's up 20% from last year at this time. What's the next step? Where do we go from here?
Well, look, I think what we know and what we've been trying to accomplish this summer is kind of an all-in comprehensive approach. Obviously, law enforcement has to take the lead, but what we also know is that in many of these communities, they are suffering from a lack of investment, lack of opportunity, and if you match up the neighborhoods that are impoverished and have suffered from a lack of investment, it's a one-to-one match with those neighborhoods who are suffering from violence. So it doesn't take much to understand that we've got to have a strategy that not only supports law enforcement efforts, but also invest in the people in those neighborhoods so that they have real opportunity and hope outside of the illegal gun trade.
I got to hand it to you. You spend a lot of your time on the weekends walking the streets in these communities.
Yep.
What are people saying to you and what are you saying back?
Well, first of all, I think they're grateful that I'm out there, that I care about what's happening to them in their neighborhoods. But what they tell me is, you know, help us help ourselves. Help us by bringing resources and support to these neighborhoods, strengthening neighborhood schools, making investments in economic development, providing trauma services for people in these communities, affordable housing, all the things that you would anticipate that are absolutely essential to have a good quality of life. People in these neighborhoods want and deserve exactly the same things.
You know, we're all fed up about these gun laws. Eddie Johnson's been on the show numerous times talking about them. You're fed up with it. Governor Pritzker is fed up. We all agree we need sensible gun laws. Where do we go from here? How does that happen?
Well, I think we have to keep pressing in this window of opportunity that I hope still exists. When you've got the president leaning in and Mitch McConnell, for once, thing that he actually wants to be a legislator, I think we've got to take advantage of this opportunity and call upon every member of Congress, every member of the Senate, because sensible gun legislation already actually passed the House. It's up to the Senate to do a clean bill, not one of these poison pill deals, but a clean bill that gives us universal background checks as a start. I also think we've got to pass an assault weapons ban. I mean, we saw an incident here just a couple weeks back in Chicago where officers stopped a car that were investigating a shooting, and it turns out that the individuals in the car possessed custom-made automatic weapons, a barrel loader that can hold 200 rounds of ammunition, and armor-piercing bullets. Well, there's only one thing you want to do with armor-piercing bullets, and that's cause the death of police officers,
right,
of people that are wearing protective vests. So we've got to take assault weapons out of the hands of people who are wreaking havoc in neighborhoods, and that's going to require a ban by the federal government.
It's just crazy to me that any individual can buy an AK-47 type rifle. It's ridiculous. And we saw at the VA hospital Monday, there was a guy with an AK-47 type rifle, and thank God the VA police stopped him before he hurt someone.
Well, we've got to give a lot of credit and support to the VA police, who really stopped him at the front door and avoided what could have been an absolute tragedy. But you're 100% right. It does not make sense that anybody outside of law enforcement and the military have any need for an automatic weapon like an AK-47. That doesn't make any sense.
How much does it bother you when you see tweets about Chicago violence coming from NBC's Willie Geist, who was born in Chicago, or Ivanka Trump, who you met with briefly after you were elected? Do you respond to these tweets? It bothers me as someone who lives in the city, and you run this city, so it has to bother you.
Well, what bothers me is the people who are using social media aren't doing anything to actually come to us, talk to us about what the issues are, get the facts, and offer help. These people who have these big platforms, if you really want to do something, actually pick up the phone. We get a laundry list of things that you can do to be helpful to people here in the city of Chicago, but just tweeting is senseless to me. It does very little.
What can we do as citizens, especially with the Air and Water Show coming this weekend? What can we do? People are listening right now. How can we help?
Well, first of all, I want people to know that the city is safe. And events like the Air and Water Show, I think, really showcase the greatness of our city. People should go. They should be safe. They should have fun. But obviously, if you see something that seems out of order, don't keep it to yourself. There are going to be plenty of law enforcement and security personnel around the event. If you see something that doesn't seem right, contact one of them. You can do it anonymously, but don't be silent. If you see something, say something.
Right. We're talking with Mayor Lori Lightfoot. The casino study came back this week, and I'm reading here. It states, due to high taxes and other financial barriers, a casino operator would be looking at returns of a few pennies on the dollar. So where do we go from here? Where will the casino go in downtown Chicago?
Well, look, we need to roll up our sleeves and get the tax financing right. It is, in some ways, a simple math problem. We've got to bring everybody together, the governor, the legislative leaders, and the legislators that have been working on casino gaming for a number of decades. I'm sure that we're going to be able to get together, put together a financial package for Chicago Casino that will allow an operator to get one financed. It inures to the benefit of the entire state. A couple of data points. The study said that a Chicago casino has a potential of generating $800 million. It dwarfs the amount of money that any other casino that's been up and running across the state. The other important data point is the study said that $260 million is what we can hope to recoup from revenues that are now going to Indiana instead of coming from Chicago. So there's every reason in the world that people around the state should want to get this right, because there's going to be a substantial amount of benefit that inures not only to the benefit of residents in Chicago, but the entire state, which is also going to benefit from the tax revenues.
Of course. What's your first choice? Is it Michael Reese Hospital?
Hell no. I'm not going to talk about the location.
Okay.
I try, though.
I tried. I saw you at Lollapalooza. Did you have a good time?
You know what? I had a lot of fun there. It was. I hadn't been there in a while, and the entertainment was great. The crowds were fantastic, and I think it showcased a lot of that Chicago really is the music capital of the United States. We had a lot of great fans, not only from Chicago, but all across the world that came for this really unique event. This started 15 years ago. It started on, the organizers will tell you, they picked a weekend in the summer where nothing else is going on. And now,
right,
as a consequence, all sorts of great things are happening across the city as a result of Lollapalooza.
100,000 people walk through the gates daily. I don't think the Chicago Police Department gets enough credit for keeping the peace and how it was such a peaceful weekend.
Well, you know, look, I think that a lot of planning went into this event, as is what you would expect. And we have great partners from federal, state, and county offices. But yes, we need to give credit to the Chicago Police Department and the Office of Emergency Management, because they did a yeoman's job in coordinating all of the different stakeholders, getting them engaged and making sure that this event went off without a hitch and that people were safe and just could relax and enjoy themselves, which is precisely what happened.
Right. I have a 14-year-old son, Charlie McMurray, asked me to go to Lollapalooza for the first time this year. Thankfully, he was away at camp. Now, you have a young daughter. Did she ask you to go, or did you take her?
Yeah. She was lobbying, but we kept her otherwise occupied. That would be like a mind-blowing experience for my 11-year-old. I think we're going to try to push that off for as long as possible.
Yes, we keep pushing things back, yes. And how is your mother doing?
You know what? Thank you for asking. She's great. She's going to be turning 91, God willing, on September 6th. And I hope to be there to celebrate with her, but she's doing great.
Does she call you up and give you advice on how to run the city?
She gives me advice on basically everything, as she has for all of my 57 years.
I like that. And
that's a mother's job.
Yes, it is. It really is. My mom calls me and gives me advice all the time. Madam Mayor, we both have something in common. We're both season ticket holders for the Chicago Bears. We all have high expectations for the Bears this year. What is your prediction for the season for the Bears? What do you think their record is going to be at the end of the year?
Well, look, I'm really enthusiastic about the progress that the Bears have made over the last couple of years. I think we got a great head coach. I'm interested to see Pagano's imprint on the defense. And I hope that Mitch Trubisky has taken enough additional steps to stay within the offense to really expand his skill set. And I hope, as all Bears fans do, that we found a kicker. We don't want the kicking game to be the thing that holds us back this year.
No, we don't. Yes. So what is your prediction on their record?
I'm looking forward to crushing the Packers.
Well, you know, I'm married to a Packer fan, so the first game of the season, the trash talking has already started for Thursday, September 5th.
I'm sure that's right.
I'm predicting the Bears go 10-6. Do you have a prediction?
I think we could do a little bit better than that. I'm going to be a little bullish and say that we come out of the season with 11 wins and win the division.
I love that. That's great. Well, I sincerely appreciate you coming on with me again here on WGN Radio. And you know, our listeners love to hear from you. Keep the dialogue open with the media when it comes to the violence in Chicago. I love that you're doing that. I love that you meet with the media once a week and Eddie Johnson is with you. And we're all trying to find a common solution.
Oh, that's right. And I think, look, I have a good sense of what I think needs to be done. I'm out there on the weekends and during the week listening to people so that I have a constant reminder of what we need to be focused on. And I want to make sure that people that are in those violent communities don't feel like they're completely pinned down by violence and have no hope.
Right.
I really, really think a lot, and I carry with me every day the faces and the stories of the children that I've met. That weighs on me. And I want to make sure that we get things right for them.
Completely get it. Mayor Lori Lightfoot, thank you for staying up late and coming back on my show. Sincerely appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great night.
You too.
Boy, it was a tough one today. I thought it was a mistake on my phone. Then I pulled up a few websites. I thought it was a typo, and it wasn't. The markets took a huge dump today. The Dow was down 800 points.
Don't look at that 401k.
Don't do that. David, you don't have to sing. Thank you very much. Okay. What do we do? Let's turn to the expert. You can go to our website, thinkglink.com. It is Elise Glink. First of all, how are you, Elise?
Oh, Pete, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, boy. Wow. 800 points. I mean, what? First of all, what happened today?
Well, what happened is a little bit of a blip on the technical side of things. So what we saw was something called an inverted yield curve. And what that means is that you get more money if you invest in short-term bonds than if you go for a long-term bond. And typically, normally, it's flipped around. So if you put your money away longer, you should get more back in interest.
Right.
But not right now. It slipped.
Oh, man. Boy, did it slip. I mean, are we going to see more of these days? I feel like August is, we've seen a few of these, haven't we? In the last month,
yeah,
I guess.
Let's just say the last week has been kind of crazy. But you know what's really interesting here, and I think this is what spooked the bond market, is since 1955, so about 100 years before I was born, we have seen an inverted yield curve like this before every single recession. And it has been a very reliable indicator that a recession is coming. And so the bond market said, oh, my goodness, this flipped. we must be having a recession coming down the pike. And then that's why stocks basically fell off a cliff today.
Oh, my gosh. That was my next question, because that's all I read. I read today. Are the markets flashing that a recession could be on the horizon? Is it happening? So what are your thoughts? Are we seeing inflation and recession? What's going to happen here?
No inflation that anybody can speak of. I mean, that's been in check, so that's good. Up until today, you've seen actually a really good, strong, fairly diversified economy, but there have been some warning signs. So one of the warning signs I thought was interesting today is, and I'm sure you're not going to guess what I'm going to say here, but Macy's had a really bad quarter. And they said that they had to discount heavily to get rid of inventory, and there weren't enough foreign buyers who were coming to their shops. So it turns out the people from around the world descend upon the U.S. to do their shopping, and then they go home with all their new purchases.
Right.
And that isn't happening, right? People are not coming to the U.S. quite the way they were in years past for a variety of reasons. And so that's really hitting the bottom line, not only of Macy's, but other retailers. And retail is already, you know, bricks and mortar, right? They're already in trouble because of the internet.
Well, when was the last time you walked into a Macy's?
They just closed the one at Northbrook Court, and that was the last time I walked into one, was like a few months ago.
I mean, as soon as you said that, I flashed to State Street because I live downtown, and that was my store, but I can't even tell you the last time I walked into Macy's. If I'm going, if I'm not buying clothes online, Elise, I am either going to Nordstrom Rack or Marshall's to buy shirts.
Or you go to Costco. So one of the interesting retail stories, I know you're going to laugh at but one of the really interesting retail stories of the year, in my mind, is that Costco has emerged as a huge clothing retailer. And I think they did something like $6 billion worth of clothing sales last year.
It's crazy that you say that, because I was just there and bought my son an Adidas t-shirt. They have great clothes at Costco, and who would have thunk that?
Yeah, it's different. They started out small. They had shoes, and then they had socks and underwear, kind of your basic stuff. And then they started with some dress shirts for men, and they added to those dress shirts, and they made them the kind that are wrinkle-free. You throw them right in the dryer, and they come out. They look pretty awesome. And then they started adding other kinds of clothes. And what they've done now is, if you go there, you see that they've made different kinds of deals with brand names, and you can buy a lot of different kinds of clothes there. And then they have these special collections that come in. And I'm not, you know, saying this to just sort of heap on Costco, you know, or praise them, but it's interesting to watch a company move in this direction when, as retail stores in general, are not doing so well. But Costco is thriving, and Sam's Club is thriving, Walmart, Target, places that were, you wouldn't have never, not always thought about them for being clothing first, are now doing very big business in those.
Right, and they're trying to make those stores a destination on the weekend. So you bring the entire family, like Costco, you get the food samples, you can buy clothes there, you can stock up on food. Target, it's the same way. Now it's a grocery store, same with Walmart. So they're trying to do all in one, so it's one-stop shopping.
Yeah, they are. And don't downplay or not play enough the idea that you can get your prescriptions there as well.
Oh,
and
yeah?
In many cases, you know, it's fresh food options also. And so what these stores are doing is kind of becoming department stores all in one, but of different kinds of things that you might normally have thought of in a regular kind of shopping mall. And so, you know, stores like Macy's, Lord & Taylor, they've really kind of fallen out of favor, and it's troubling for malls where those were the anchor tenants. But, you know, to go back to today, I mean, the stock market is really not knowing what to make of the big issue on the minds of most traders right now, which is the tariffs and what Trump is saying to China, not only just about how they're treating Hong Kong protesters who've been, you know, disrupting operations at their airport in Hong Kong, but also just back and forth on trade and how that's affecting different parts of our economy. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty as to what's going on out there. And when there's uncertainty, the market takes advantage of that.
Oh, we're talking with Elise Glink. You can go to her website, thinkglink.com. The president doesn't help, does he?
Well, it depends. You know, if you think that piling on Jay Powell, who's the Federal Reserve, president. Yes, then he's helping. But wow. I would say that this is not really helping so much.
Not at all. So where would you put new money to work in the world today? Where would you?
So I know that.
Go ahead.
I know, Pete, this is going to be hard for you to hear, because our instinct is, when something like this happens, grab the money and run. But what I want everybody to do is just take a deep breath. Just look even what happened this week. We saw the market drop 700 points. I think it was Monday. Tuesday, it went all the way up. Mm-hmm. Now we're down 800 points. You have no idea which way the market's going. All I can tell you is that in 10, 20, 30 years, if you leave your money where it is today, if you continue on the investment, long-term investment plan that you have, your money will continue to grow, and the chances are that in 20, 30 years, when you go time to retire and use that money, you'll have more in it than you would if you take your money out today and go head to the hills. So
of course,
try to stay the course.
Buy fear, sell greed.
That's a nice way of putting it. I just kind of say, ignore the market, ignore social media, Turn off Jim Cramer on CNBC, and try to forget the idea that you're doing anything other than just living your life every day.
I tweeted that out today, buy fear, sell greed, because everybody's first reaction, like you said, is to sell. Oh my God, the market's down. I got to sell everything. Well, why would you sell when the market's down? You got to hold on to it. It's going to rebound. I don't know. We all freak out. And, that's why you shouldn't look at your 401k on a regular basis, because you're going to get a stomachache.
Yeah, I wouldn't even pay very much attention to it. In fact, it's funny because my kids are finally at the very end of college. In fact, we just made the last payment for my younger son's college education. He's going to finish up in December, and they still even have some money left over in their 529 plans. And so I called our investment advisor, and I said to him, hey, the kids are done. I know I told you they needed to, be in very conservative investments while we were paying for college, but now they're done, and we don't know, maybe they'll have grad school in the future. Let's make it more aggressive investing. And, basically, I don't intend to look at that money again until, our younger son says, hey, I'm ready to go to business school, or I'm ready to, continue on with schooling.
Right.
And that's really the whole way to treat the market. It has to be there for when you need it, so you make smart decisions, and then you just kind of forget about it. It's really the best thing to do.
Just got a text message. Can you please ask Elise, what are chances for the bill currently in Congress that would allow investors to delay taking RMD until age 72? This would help many seniors to ride out a recession if there are other resources / salary.
Right. So there's a requirement. RMD is required minimum distribution. And when you get to a certain age, I believe it's 70 and a half, you have to start making your required minimum distributions based on your life expectancy.
Right.
And right now, they do it out on an actuarial table. And so you take out, let's say, 1/20th, right, with the idea that you might live to 85 or you might live to 90. They're thinking of pushing out the year when you have to start taking it for a couple of reasons. One is so that you can ride out these kinds of downturns, right, because you don't have to take money out when the market is low. But also because people are living longer, and their money has to last. And so there's this movement to rethink what age people have to be when you start taking money out of your 401k or your IRAs, and that maybe because people are now living to be 85, 90, 95, 107, you might want to just let people stretch that out a bit. Maybe they're able to work longer, and you don't want them being forced into a position where by the time they are 95, they're out of money, and then they become basically, the taxpayer's responsibility if they don't have family members to help. So I think it's a good idea. I think we're going to see some movement on that bill, and I do think that it's very likely that if that particular bill doesn't pass, that there could be some, maybe they switch around the number and it's 80 and not 82, but I do think we're going to see an extension.
How many times have you heard or seen a senior that lives to be 95 and they do run out of money? It breaks my heart.
It does. I, the mom of my very good friend, her name is Barbara, she's 94, 95, and she does have plenty of money, which is terrific, but you, and still driving, although I think she's maybe going to give up her license this year, one hopes. But, you know, you don't want to see somebody who's like that and not able to live the way they want to live. And so it would be nice to figure out a way to help baby boomers who are now aging into that bracket, and who now have parents they're taking care of as well, find a way to help them out as they start this, you know, last phase of their lives.
Right. Wow. Elise, when the market dropped, I turned to Michael or I sent him a text. I go, you got to get Elise on. We got to talk. He's like, I'll send her a text. Thank you. Because, you know, we've talked before, and I've heard you fill in for Bertrand many, many times during the Wintrust Business Lunch. And you just dumb it down for people like me where I can understand it. You really do.
Well, you're very kind to have invited me, and it was a lot of fun to chat, Pete, and I look forward to our next encounter on the Bertrand Show.
I love it, and I hope the next time we talk, the market doesn't drop another 800 points, okay?
Yeah, me too. How about that?
ThinkBlink.com is their website, Elise Glank. Have a great night. Thanks for staying up.
Thank you.
All right, it's 720 WGN. Thanks again to Elise Glank. So what did we learn? Do not sell the farm. Hold on to your money. And I tweeted it out today when I saw that the market dropped 800 points. What do? You buy fear, sell greed. So don't sell now when the market's down 800 points. You got that, Michael? Do not sell.
You should have told me that when I bought all my Bitcoin.
So you're that guy. You're the guy that spent his money on Bitcoin. Nothing?
I'm so far in debt.
Well, she was talking about how she was done paying off her kids' college. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, I'd love to be there. Mm-hmm. Are you still paying student loans?
No. Luckily, I went to a school that was very affordable. So I'm debt free.
I had so many student loans. And I've mentioned this on the air before. My last semester at Bradley, I had no money. I had to open a credit card and pay my last semester on a credit card. That took me forever to pay off. And I'll never forget this. I made my last payment. I was doing the night show at WCKG, and I made my last payment, and I put a huge memo on the board in the cafeteria. It's over. And people thought I was quitting. And I'm like, no, that was my last student loan payment. It's been 10 years. I paid it off. It was
nice.
Wow.
Man, that's...
And that's when you could afford college. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine how long people have to pay these student loans. It's crazy.
Forever. I remember that my friends would block the Sally Mae calls on their phone because they would call nonstop.
Gosh.
Where's the money?
I just feel bad for people. It's terrible. It really is. That's why I told my son, get a job now. I know you're 14. You got to start saving your money. And by the way, you got to go to, if you have the chance, these junior colleges are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Go for 2 years, then you can go to the big school. It's like everybody wants to get away right away. You don't want to be in debt for the rest of your life. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love college, and I've said it. I'm a beer away, but the debt is just horrible. All right, there was a great story this week about Chris Cuomo from CNN. Chris Cuomo, everybody's familiar with him. He hosts the primetime show on CNN. Very outspoken guy. Very big guy. Muscular. Okay? He was approached at a restaurant. He was with his wife and his young son. And a guy across the room yells, "Hey, Fredo." And, you know, Chris Cuomo, who's Italian, and if you know The Godfather, Fredo is the weak one in the family, and he's the one that ultimately betrays Michael Corleone, and he, you know, the kiss in Godfather 2. So he takes this very personally and runs over to the guy, and someone was running their cell phone. So can we play a little of this?
I thought that's who you were.
From the right, call me Fredo. My name is Chris Cuomo. I'm an anchor on CNN. Fredo is from The Godfather. He was that weak brother.
Isn't that your
And they use it as an Italian aspersion. Any of you Italian? Are you Italian? It's a insult to your people. It's an insult to speaking people. It's like the N-word for us. Is that a cool thing?
You're a much more reasonable guy in person than you seem to be on television.
Yeah, but if you want to play, then we'll play. If you've got something you want to say about what I do on television, then say it. But I'm going to call you.
Hey, listen.
What?
I don't want any problems.
Yeah, you're going to have a big problem.
All right, hold it for a second. Okay, I don't want any problems, but this guy, he took off his sunglasses in the video, the guy that was getting yelled at by Chris Cuomo like he was ready to fight. Okay? So the question is, who's right, who's wrong here? Chris Cuomo, should he have attacked the guy like he did verbally and maybe a scuffle occurred? Or was it the other guy yelling at Chris Cuomo? I mean, you're in media, Michael. I know you're behind the scenes, but a lot of people know you from social media and playing guitar in the city. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been approached?
Well, it depends. I do host an open mic at a bar, so I have been approached, but never in a way where it's kind of an authority thing. It's like they see you on stage and they know that you're the person who's going to be, you know, the voice of what they're doing at the moment. So he probably watches CNN all the time, and he sees him in person, and he's like, all right, so this is my time to shine. This is my time to get a rise out of somebody that I need to see perform in every single night.
And he doesn't think Chris Cuomo is going to come back at him.
Yeah,
attack him, who is a big guy.
He's invincible, he feels like.
But he's with his wife and his son, mm-hmm. which drives me crazy. I've been approached so many times in my life by people at the grocery store. Most of it very, very positive, but you know when these meatheads are about ready to say something. Mm-hmm. And I've been with my brothers 100 times. And you can name a Bear game, you can name a baseball game, anywhere in the city, and I can see it in the corner. I can see the people staring, and I'll whisper to my brother, I go, something's going to happen. I don't want anybody to fight. Somebody's going to say something to me, and we're just going to... I always try to diffuse it before it happens. Unfortunately, and I hate to fight, but I have been in fights in my life. But the last one, and I'll never forget this, it was the NFC Championship, and we were at O'Malley's, if people remember that bar, which is right outside of Soldier Field if you walk down in the strip of bars. And I saw these guys staring at us, and I knew it was going to happen. And my brother Ed was there, and Ed is always looking for a reason to punch somebody right in the face. And my former roommate, Bob Lanigan, who's 6'6", 275, and grew up in Oak Lawn, who has been in a fight every day of his life. That's what he does. So I'm like, guys, we're not going to fight. These guys are going to come over. And as soon as they did, they came over, and the guy said something, and then it just broke loose. That was it. And I knew it was going to happen, but you just kind of know. And I'm sure Chris Cuomo, especially how outspoken he is on CNN, I'm sure he gets approached all the time. And just today or that day this week, he just snapped. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy. Mm-hmm. Do we have a little more? Can we play it before we go into a commercial?
What's the problem?
It's a little different on TV.
Don't f***ing insult me like that.
I didn't insult you.
Call me Fredo. It's like I call you punk. You like that? You want that to be your nickname?
I didn't call you that.
You called me Fredo. You know my name now.
Fredo, your name was.
You did not think my name was Fredo. Don't be a liar.
Okay, what happened was people got in between him, and I think there was a security guard that he was with, or a security guard walked up and said, hey, they have phones, you need to stop. And there was some pushing, and then it diffused. Mm-hmm. And CNN sided with Chris Cuomo.
Yeah, but, as they should.
Right, I agree 100%. I don't understand why these people do things like that. I know you want to get a word in, but, you know, you got to keep taking it. And Cuomo just had it. Yeah.
Jeez, it's crazy. We were talking about this a little bit last night, and just the power of that, having that phone. And is this our culture now of just you come up with a phone?
Everything is recorded. Mm-hmm. Always assume that everything is recorded. Always assume if you send a text, 100 people are going to read it. Mm-hmm. Always assume that. But people don't. They don't think about that. Oh, I'm going to send a text and no one's ever going to see it. And the number one thing, we've said it once. I've said it once. I've said it 1,000 times. If you send a naked picture to someone, they're going to show it to at least 20 other people. That's why you should never send a naked picture. See how we started with Cuomo and then we went to nudity?
Yeah. Now you tell me.
That's how it works. All right. Coming up, top of the hour. And, we have a cool dance production that's going to be starting in Chicago. We're going to get the choreographer in the studio right after the news. It's 720 WGN.
God, she has rhythm already. She's moving. I can't believe it. Dancing fans, listen up. Dance Crash has a new production called Lil Pine Nut, opening August 23rd. Joining us is the artistic director of Dance Crash,
It is Jessica Dare. I mean, I can just tell right away you have rhythm, but you look at me and say, wow, that cat can dance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I appreciate
it's
that.
It's a little intimidating.
Is it really? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, can you look at somebody like Michael, our producer, can you look at him when he walked in the studio and say, that guy has no rhythm whatsoever?
You know, you can make an assumption, but I'm always surprised by the people that will like be the first to hit a wedding dance floor and start breakdancing, you know? You never know.
The white man's overbite. Are you dancing, you know, and the hands go over the head.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that movie, Hitch, where Will Smith?
Right,
yeah,
here.
Keep him down
home
here.
Here.
Here's your home base. Keep
I'll
him low.
I'll take someone that is brave and gets out there any day, though, over someone that just sits down, you know, even if you're bad.
Any dancing is good, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What is Dance Crash? Explain to people what it is.
Dance Crash is a multidisciplinary dance company. So what that means to us is that we do a fusion of different dance styles. So our dancers are trained in contemporary dance, hip-hop dance, breakdancing, acrobatics, and then we sort of pick and choose how we want to play with those styles, and oftentimes we do so in a way that tells a story. So it's like a play that's done entirely through dance. So
right.
That's kind of what Little Pine Nut is.
Well, explain what Little Pine Nut is.
Little Pine Nut is a dance, like an evening-length story show that is based actually on the original book, The Adventures of Pinocchio, written by Carlo Collodi.
Oh,
so
okay.
So not the Disney version. We're going way back to
right.
the source.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen you guys dance. You're unbelievable.
Oh, good. Thanks.
I mean, it's just amazing what you can do. I don't know what happened to my voice. Wow. I mean, when did you start dancing? How old were you?
I actually started dancing when I was 4 because I was kind of shy, and my mom thought maybe it would help me like get used to being in front of people.
You are not shy
I know,
whatsoever.
It definitely helped. So
you're screaming down the hall as I bring you in the studio. Wow.
Yeah, but I started taking, they usually start you with ballet, tap, tumbling, jazz, and then as you get older, you can kind of pick if you want to go into
right.
hip-hop or breaking or gymnastics or what things could sort of help you diversify yourself.
By the way, Little Pine Nut opens August 23rd at the Ruth Page Center for Arts, which is 1016 North Dearborn. You can go to chicagodancecrash.com for tickets.
Yes, that
okay.
is correct.
Got it. We're talking with Jessica Dare from Chicago Dance Crash. When you dance, do you listen to the music? Are you counting the beats? What are you doing?
I do personally. I'm pretty big on counting. Some choreographers just they'll do it to lyrics, or they won't set counts. They'll kind of imply the rhythm as they're teaching it.
Okay.
So for me, it kind of depends. If we're doing a group piece in unison and I need 10 dancers to look exactly the same, we'll kind of try to give them counts. But let's say it's like a solo and there's a little more wiggle room and I want them to feel like they can move the way they want to move, we can keep it
right.
a little more vague and kind of give them pointers. So like, you need to start this here, but you have up until this point to get to this move, you know? Which is kind of fun for
well,
them on
stage. Explain to people that don't know what we're talking about with the beats, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah, well, I think the simplest way is like, I guess you'd say for your standard American music, we normally count in eights, right?
Eight beats.
So, yeah,
right.
1, 2, 3. That's why the joke, you always hear them counting it in on 5, 6, 7, 8. And then we start on 1. So we assign each step, and you can break it down even further to like 1E and a 2E and a 3. Hold 4, 5, and a 6, and 8. And that's the way we keep it to the music the way we want it to go.
Oh, my gosh. I was in Chicago dancing, what was it called? Chicago Dancing? Dancing with a Chicago Celebrity. And my biggest mistake, by the way, my second biggest mistake, the first biggest mistake is the worst title in the history of Chicago is Dancing with a Chicago Celebrity Star or whatever it is.
Your first mistake was
oh
signing up.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't even pronounce it. And I'm trying to get people to donate money to charity, but I danced in that
what
competition.
What style did they make you do?
I did the tango.
Oh.
I really thought I was going to bring it home because it's not about the dance. It's about
the passion and like
and
yeah.
the theme, and it's like mm-hmm. a production
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just not the dancing, it's what is your theme, what is your, you know,
what's your character, yeah,
with your character, thank
with
you
your partner. Yeah,
so I was James Bond.
Oh yeah,
we were doing the tango to the James Bond theme.
Did you have a rose
in
your mouth?
No. You know what, now I look back, I
yeah.
should have had a rose.
Yeah.
I had a white tuxedo.
Okay.
I think I looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely so.
But
oh, no,
I didn't
have a white.
Well.
I had a black tuxedo. I showed up with a white and she's like, no, it's not going to work.
Okay.
Because white's not going to look good on the dance floor. Why is that?
Maybe the dance floor was white, so she didn't want you to blend in. She wanted you to like pop.
There was a lot of things wrong with that. But anyway, I was too overconfident because I could count the beats. I had my moves and I was too relaxed when I came to the competition. Have you ever been there where you're too relaxed and your guard is down and you get on the dance floor and all of a sudden
oh, and you lose
you
it.
Fall flat right on your face?
Yeah, and it's funny, sometimes that happens with the simplest dance, you know, because you're like, oh, I got this, it's easy, I won't practice too much, I'm always looking at the mirror, I think I know it, and then right. you get in front of 200 people and they start holding up their cameras, and you're like, oh, I don't think I know this as well as I thought I
it's
did.
It's crazy.
That
there
can
was,
happen to anyone.
There
yeah.
was 750 people there. I thought there was going to be maybe 150. Yeah. 750.
So I'm guessing you weren't the winner.
Oh my gosh. I got out there and... we nailed the beginning, and then I missed a step, and that's all I could think about yeah. as we were going through.
And then you lose the whole thing.
And then I missed the finale. I was supposed to start on my right foot, and I started on my left, and it was terrible.
Yeah, you got to leave it to our professionals.
It was bad. It was really, really bad. But have you ever been there where you make a mistake, and how do you just forget about it?
I mean, the biggest thing we try to remember is that the audience doesn't know your choreography, right? So if I go wrong, as long as I can sell it and look like I know what I'm supposed to do, and like you're saying, like keep my wits about me so I can catch the next thing
God,
and get back
right.
in, you know?
Just own it.
They don't
it.
Know. Yeah,
right.
you gotta just
Act
go
like
for
you
it.
Own it. Yeah. Man.
Give
wow.
them some freestyle.
I've seen you guys dance. You are so good. I've seen the breakdancing. I've seen just, is it freestyle where you just kind of do your, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes it is. Our company kind of specializes in that because we really try to hire dancers that have sort of their own look and their own style background and their own specialty. So that's kind of a fun way for us to introduce ourselves to audiences, is to sort of set like a loose structure with them, but then let them kind of play with the movement as they please. So we do like some battles. They're called KTF battles. We've got one coming up, I want to say September 21st. But
I don't even know what that means.
Oh,
what
KTF. It means keeper of the floor. So it's kind of like a dance battle, right?
Michael, did you know the KTF? Did you know what that meant?
No
oh,
idea.
You wouldn't. Like, we coined the term.
Oh, it was a James Bond thing, to be honest.
No, it... September 21st, I was right.
Okay.
But yeah, it starts with like 10 dancers, and we basically pit our own dancers against each other, and we sort of whittle it down, and the audience gets to vote. Let's say I'm against you, and they vote me through, of course. Then
really?
I go on, and it's me against him, right? Until we get it down to one winner. So it's audience voted. They can drink while they're going. The host is pretty lively, so it's kind of a nice way to get people familiar with what we do.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's nice. Is that at the same place at the Ruth Page
that
Center
one's
for
not.
Arts?
That one's actually at the Den Theater. So what you got to do is come to Little Pine Nut first at Ruth Page in
Little
August.
Pine Nut.
And then when you decide you love us, then you come to KTF at the end of September.
ChicagoDanceCrash.com for tickets. Jessica Bear is here. Dare. Jessica Dare. Sorry, not Bear. Michael,
first.
Can you dance? Do you have any rhythm?
You know what? I do a pretty mean salsa. The bachata was my go-to.
What?
See?
That's about it.
You underestimated him.
Yeah. Wow.
But I mean, here's the thing, though. I look like a robot doing it. I mean, I know the steps in my head, but I look like Frankenstein dancing most of the time.
I want to learn the robot. I think you could pull the robot out at any party.
Yes, for
Do you
sure.
know the robot?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you start it? What do you know, you got to have a stiff body?
I mean... yeah, you could start with dime stops. Like, you're literally trying to stop on a dime, right? So you're
right.
like simple, start with simple, small movements,
okay.
almost like a mannequin would, you know, and really like stopping with each picture as you go. There you go. Right.
Now, why does hers look a little bit better
because
than yours, Pete?
Jessica has rhythm. I have no rhythm whatsoever.
It was good. We're on the right track.
I have zero rhythm. Who do you look up to in the dancing world?
I look up to Gene Kelly.
Really?
Yes.
You're kidding. Singing
like,
in the
actually,
Rain?
Actually, from Singing in the Rain, Sid Charisse is my favorite. She's like the featured brunette dancer in the Broadway melody. But yeah, Singing in the Rain fluctuates between my top one and top two movies.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because
so I'll
I was
go
gonna,
that far back.
I wanted to go down that road because my mother, God bless Betty Ann, she made us watch family classics. We had to watch all those shows, all those movies. Those singing and dancing, because that's all they did back in the day.
Yeah, that was the golden era. That
wow.
was, yeah, times were good.
I mean, you had Gene Kelly, you had Bob Hope.
Mm-hmm.
You look at these guys, they could sing, dance, and do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Kaye was the same way. He was
yes,
a, you know,
White Christmas. That's
White
one of my
Christmas.
Favorites. He's awesome in that movie.
Danny Kaye is so underrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that no one ever talks about him. He could sing, dance, and do comedy. I mean, he was hilarious.
Yeah. And but, still had like good lines and dancing, you know?
Can you tap dance?
I can.
How hard is that?
I love tap dance.
because I
actually like snuck a little bit of a soft shoe in like a hip hop version into Little Pine Nut because I've been like joking. We don't like Dance Crash doesn't specialize in tap. It's not even really something we would list. But our dancers are trained in so many things. I was like, ooh, what if for this section we kind of play with this like little soft shoe thing to close out act one. So it's been pretty funny. We've been making the dancers go out of their comfort zone.
Well, you're the choreographer. You put this thing together. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know where to start. That's speaking French to me. How do you start with something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing about like even just picking the theme of a story show. Like I wanted to do Pinocchio because I felt like the characters that it has and the settings that it provides and sort of like the environment it has just gave us a ton of room to play, you know? It's like when people kind of know the story, we know Belly of the Whale, right? We kind of know Pleasure Island, maybe, if you're familiar with the Disney version. But there's all these other characters and things to play with that it's like, there's so many different ways I could convey the turquoise lady animating a puppet into a human, especially with like all the movement qualities they have. It was just like a really fun rehearsal process to be like, how do we show that his joints are like this, but he can now move them himself, you know?
You are so talented. I could never, ever. I mean, if I even studied this, it's like there's no way I could ever put this together. It's just crazy.
I'm sure you could.
Oh, my gosh. What about modern day dancers like J-Lo or performers like J-Lo?
I love J-Lo. I would see J-Lo any day. She's an awesome mover. She was like one of the original Fly Girls, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Some dancers kind of give her flack when she's judging on that the dance show because she'll kind of call things by the wrong name sometimes. But I mean, everybody.
I don't know that. I mean, yeah, we watch that in the McMurray household. We love it.
No, but she's the queen. She's awesome. She's a great mover.
Can Beyonce dance?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
If you don't know, now you know. You need to watch her Netflix show about her Coachella performance.
All right.
It's called Homecoming. Oh, my God.
Really?
It's awesome.
And she can move in that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's meticulous with how she put together that whole performance and how every shot would look on camera. And yeah, it's awesome.
Christina Aguilera, can she dance?
Christina can move. I always like, I mean, that was always the thing back in the day, like the feud between Britney and Christina. Right,
yeah.
Like Britney was the dancer who couldn't quite, you know, maybe didn't have the best voice. And then Christina has this like awesome voice, but like, you know, back in the Mickey Mouse Club, she was not getting the dance solo. She was the one standing there singing, so.
Britney can dance.
Yes.
Can she still dance? Does she still have it?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because in her comeback tour, I did see like some video footage of her with like a new, like kind of new school hip hop and, you know, a little bit of voguing and whacking with the choreographer in there. And I would say like her awesome, awesome dancers were so awesome. You almost wanted to watch them a little more,
right?
You know? But like her Slave for You era, all those days. Like
I don't even know what that is. I just remember her in the video with the tied up shirt.
Because I can't sing.
And she walks towards me as a schoolgirl.
That's the first one. Right, was that? Okay. That was Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one. I love that.
It's like some bubblegum pop, jazz funk, hip hop dance.
I feel like when someone goes to Vegas, they're just kind of packing it in. They're like, this is a money grab. I'm going to go to Vegas for about 5 years and just take everybody's money.
Yeah. And what can I do to keep people coming to see this show?
Right. Because she hasn't really been top of mind in years, Britney.
I guess not. But, I mean, she did her thing, right? Doesn't that
she
count?
She did, yeah.
She gets a break.
Right. I guess you're right. And then she had kids. And right? She went to Vegas and grabbed money. I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
How about Madonna?
Madonna's a good dancer.
Okay.
I mean, I loved her and Dick Tracy. I'm trying to think. Oh, Vogue. Vogue was pretty, like, monumental for bringing, you know, Vogue dancing to the mainstream and kind of hiring legit dancers for that too. In her tours, she's always like reinventing what styles she can do.
That's the thing with Madonna. She was always reinventing herself, mm-hmm. but now she's at an age where sometimes I feel like she's wearing inappropriate clothes as a 60-year-old woman, where she's trying too hard.
She's very fit though.
I understand she's fit, but I feel like she's trying too hard.
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right. And John Travolta, can he dance?
He can dance. I mean, Grease, Saturday Night Fever, was it called?
Yes.
But like for me personally, if that's playing on the TV, I'm going to switch by it. You know, it was good. He did that. He made it iconic.
You're going to turn it off?
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear this, you know what? Come on. You just want to dance. You can feel it.
Do you know how many gigs every dancer in Chicago has had to do with this song?
I mean, you look at me. I got rhythm. I'm not even doing anything.
You're lucky this is a radio show.
I mean, you look at me and say, God, that guy does have rhythm.
Yeah, for sure.
Jessica Dare, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
our mutual friend, Jane Monzuris. I was with Jane on Monday here at Tribune, and she's like, you got to have these guys on the air. They have their show coming up.
Yeah.
ChicagoDanceCrash.com for tickets. And the show, again, is called Lil Pine Nut. And you will not be disappointed. I want to say I've seen you guys two or three times at Jane's events, and you're unbelievable.
Oh, thank you.
You are so good. And I could just tell as you walked in and you kind of strutted your stuff, you got rhythm. You were born with rhythm, not me.
Well, there's hope for you. You can work on it.
ChicagoDanceCrash.com for tickets. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's 720 WGN. Jessica Dare. She was fantastic, man. And as soon as I started playing this, she's like, oh my God, not again. I'm sure they've done 1 million dances. Productions of this song.
Her eyes rolled in the back of her head like she's done it a billion times.
She's like, you rookie, I can't believe you played Staying Alive. What's wrong with you? And then I start dancing, start moving. I think I pulled something in my back, too. Oblique. What did Tiger pull last week? I think I pulled that same thing.
You should ice it.
Oh, yeah, got to ice that puppy up. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Ryan Burrow. Made him stay up tonight because something's going on with Ohio State, and you're going to hate him even more. Not Ryan, but the university, Ohio State. And we'll talk about that right after news. It's Vic. Vic. What in the heck is going on with Ohio State? Ohio State University is looking to trademark the in their name. They've applied for a trademark for apparel. A guy that's been covering this story for ABC News, our own Ryan Burrow. This is the craziest story I think I've ever heard. What's going on here?
Oh my gosh, you're a Missouri Valley guy. I'm a Missouri Valley guy. So all of this, whatever, right? You're a Bradley guy. I'm a Valpo guy.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, nuts to all these Big Ten teams and their big programs and everything like that. Here's what OSU is doing. And, you know, for your Northwestern fans and you Illini fans out there, you're going to roll your eyes just like us Missouri Valley guys are going to do here.
I love it.
They want, by the way, this is your unbiased news guy here, right?
I can tell.
They want to, they want to trademark the word the, T-H-E. That is their goal. They have filed a full license or an application to trademark T-H-E because they want to put T-H-E on shirts and hats, and they want to start branding themselves as the Ohio State University. You know, we always watch these games, Monday Night Football, and you get a couple guys who are Buckeyes who say, you know, blah, 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 the Ohio State University. And you're like, what's that all about? That's their thing. You know, so the people from Miami say the U, and people from Ohio State say the Ohio State University. And so they want to market this. Now, I don't know if this is going to get anywhere.
I always thought it was a joke putting the in front of it. What is that called? The article?
I know.
Putting the article in front of the title. The Ohio State University. So if they trademark the word the or the, what does that mean? Can other people use it or they can't use it in front of Ohio State? How does that work?
Let's just put it this way. It does not sound like this is going to make it very far in the process. Josh Gerben, who actually found this trademark, this application that was put in, he's a trademark attorney. He says that, look, if you are going to bring a trademark to the people who would give the thumbs up or thumbs down, it's got to be something distinctive. It's got to be some kind of logo. It's got to be a part of the apparel or a part of something. It can't just be the word the or the.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't really work. So he doesn't think, he doesn't think initially this is going to get through as it's set up right now by Ohio State. Now, I'm sorry, the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Yeah, exactly. If they change it and alter it and make it part of the logo, it might be a different story. But the way they're presenting it right now, I mean, literally, what they are offering up is a hat with T-H-E on it.
Okay.
A red hat with white T-H-E.
Let me get this straight. We're talking to Ryan Burrow. He's been covering this story for the Ohio State University is looking to trademark the T-H-E. So it's not the Ohio State University. They're trying to trademark three letters. T-H-E?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Look at what,
that's never going to happen.
Hey, If you look at the products that they want to put out, it is the letters T-H-E. Uh-huh. Let's say you've got a red shirt.
Yes.
Let's say you hate Michigan and you're going to go to an Ohio State-Michigan game and you want to get one of these shirts.
Right.
It would say T-H-E in big, bold letters, and then it would have the little Ohio State Buckeye logo below it.
So why trademark it? Or why don't they trademark design for the T-shirt? You can't trademark the word the or the. That's just not going to happen. Are they just, is it a publicity stunt? Or are they just trying to get the word out there?
I don't know, but here is the explanation that we're getting from the Ohio State University spokesperson. Like other institutions, Ohio State, which by the way they just call Ohio State, works to vigorously protect the university's brand and trademarks because these assets hold significant value, which benefits our students, our faculty, and broader community by supporting our core academic mission of teaching and research. So really, Pete, this is all about teaching and research. We know that, right?
That doesn't mean anything.
It's not about selling swag.
It means nothing. It's ridiculous. It's one more reason to dislike Ohio State. People love to hate Ohio State. This gives them another reason.
Here is my suggestion to all you Cats fans and Illini fans and Badgers fans out there. Go print shirts that say the word the on it. T-H-E in bold letters. Head on out to the field and just start ripping them.
If I printed a shirt, let's say by some crazy reason they get a trademark on the word the. So anytime that word is used anywhere, especially in print or on T-shirts, they get a piece of the pie. Is that right? Or they can sue.
I think what they want to do is they want to pair that with their logo. So it'd be T-H-E plus the logo. Okay. That is the goal. But according to this trademark attorney who doesn't think this is going to happen and who discovered this application, they didn't do that.
I'm not even an attorney, and I can tell you it's never going to happen. It's just not. So what is the follow-up? When's the next date? What happens? What's the next step?
Well, they've filed this with the committee that will then look at it and probably give the big red no stamp on it. And then they will go back and figure out whether or not they've got a better way to go about doing this. But I think that this would be a great opportunity for you to start branding your show, The Pete McMurray Show.
The Pete McMurray Show. Not The Pete McMurray Show. The Pete McMurray Show. I like it.
I think you should put an extra E on the end of it.
The.
And then you could just The.
Like it. All right, Ryan. Appreciate your time, buddy. Now you can go to bed. What up?
All right. Sounds good. Take care.
Breaking
go Valpo.
News. Ryan Burrow. Thank you, Ryan. Yeah. Hey, happy Woodstock, everybody. 50 years ago this weekend, Woodstock happened in Bethel Woods. And the original site where the Woodstock Festival happened is now Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, which is a small theater that is too small, that was too small to hold the 50th anniversary. And of course, that went to crap. They ran out of money. They had a ton of money. And then they paid off all the artists, and then they spent the rest of the money, and they didn't have a venue. It's over. The original Woodstock veterans Santana, John Fogerty, and Ringo Starr will perform this weekend at the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, August 16th through the 19th, the exact dates of the 1969 festival. Now, the people that were there 50 years ago, or you're going to get some kids that are going to head up to Woodstock this weekend. Michael, I know you're one of those young millennials. I could see you hopping in a VW van and heading out to Bethel Woods in Woodstock.
I went to Walmart the other day just to get my patchouli oil ready.
Can you buy that at Walmart? I don't understand that. People don't shower and they just put it on their body?
Yeah, that was the way of the 60s, Pete.
Well, can't you just get the Axe spray and just spray it and walk into it?
Oh, geez, that's only if you're going to the underground here in Chicago.
If you're thinking about going to Woodstock this weekend, patchouli. How do you spell patchouli? I've always had a problem spelling that.
Is it like pterodactyl, where it kind of starts with a P?
I used to work with this woman at another radio station, and she wore it every single day. And I thought to myself, does she not shower every day, or does she wear it as perfume? I don't really understand it, but I'm going to try to stay away from her because I don't want to smell like it. And people think, they'll think I don't shower.
And it all, it's just, how many incense candles does she have in her office, too?
Just tons.
Oh, man.
The weird stuff and the rainbows and the whole deal. Jeez. But God bless her. She was a nice woman. But I still, to this day, I don't know if she showered every day. I don't know how that works. If you're thinking about going to Woodstock, or if you know someone that's planning on going to Woodstock this weekend, they're not going to get in. Only ticket holders will be allowed onto the Bethel Woods grounds Thursday through Sunday. And they must have a travel pass that was issued with the tickets. So if you're going to see Santana, John Fogerty, or Ringo Starr this weekend at the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, which I'm assuming is a very small theater, like would hold anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 people, you have a travel pass that says you can drive through the neighborhood. And there's going to be checkpoints. But officials say that there's going to be people rushing through the checkpoints, and they still expect about 100,000 people this weekend. That's crazy. But you know it's going to happen. People are probably driving there right now, listening to us, driving cross country. We're going to make it to Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get there. Well, there's checkpoints. Tomorrow, which happens in 10 minutes, Arlo Guthrie will be the original Woodstock performer Arlo Guthrie of Alice's Restaurant will perform an outdoor screening of the legendary 1970 Woodstock documentary on the festival field. So they're going to have stuff all weekend long, but if you don't have a ticket, you can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be happening.
Jeez, that thing went to hell in a handbasket this year.
I can't believe it. I was so excited.
Went down flames.
That's all I talked about on the, oh my God, look who's on here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had David Crosby on the air a month and a half ago, and he said, yeah, I got paid. We're not doing it because they're crooks.
Wow.
So Michael Lang, the original guy that put together Woodstock, he was trying to do a 50th anniversary, and I don't know, everybody had their hand out. Everybody took money.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, Michael Lang, his whole folklore surrounding him, he was not really a good concert promoter from the get-go.
No.
Woodstock was a bad idea from the start.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, what, they didn't even have the stages set up by the time people started coming through the gates.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it? They had to take the people that were taking the tickets to help them put together the stages.
Yeah.
Right? And keep the order and security. So that's why people found out, oh my God, it's free. That's why they had so many people.
Yeah.
God, you're right. He screwed that up.
He did. He was never really good at putting on concerts. I mean, it kind of worked out because of the whole peace and love. But the thing is that you're still just giving a free concert in a field. It didn't sound like it was very fun. It sounded, there was probably not a really good time for the people who were in the back.
People smelled you. They needed patchouli oil back in the day.
You're bathing in mud.
Oh, the rain.
Wavy gravy sitting there trying to give you granola. Hey, man, give me some real food over here.
What was it? When did they bring back Woodstock? In 98? Or 99, I'm sorry?
There was one in 94, and then they did one in 98.
Okay.
And then there were a few. The 94 one actually was pretty popular.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was the good one with Green Day throwing the mud off the stage.
Yep.
And it was sponsored by MTV, and then they just bailed out after that.
The 98 one is where the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and they had the fire at the end. And everything was, they burned down the stage.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. In the 1999, it was marred by violence, sexual assault, allegations of rape, looting, and fire.
Oh, that's not funny.
So that was, Woodstock 98.
How does that happen?
Just from a bad running of the show. It was supposed to be, it was the 30th anniversary when that happened, too, and it just turned to hell.
There has to be a baby that was either born or conceived at Woodstock. That's around, that's 50.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, there's got to be somebody that's going to come forward this weekend. Watch CNN. I'm sure they're going to have a story.
To talk about how their parents met and they were conceived at Woodstock.
Right.
I hope it's like an accountant, a really boring guy, like nothing to do with it.
No.
Any hippie culture.
No. Do you know anybody that went to Woodstock? Have you ever talked to anybody? I've always looked for somebody that I don't know anyone that's actually been to the original Woodstock.
No.
Besides David Crosby. Who has a great story because they just formed the band, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and their first gig was in Chicago.
Really?
And their second gig was a day and a half later at Woodstock, and they played in the morning, then they played and they left. So they didn't even stick around.
Jeez, what an awesome guy. I love
their second
Crosby.
Gig ever was the iconic Woodstock. Crazy.
And they were still a very, very tight band, too, at that time. When you interviewed David Crosby, did you talk about that the new documentary that Cameron Crowe put together, that Remember My Name?
That was announced right after. But we're going to have him back on the show for that. I saw him perform on Fallon a few weeks ago. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's still great.
Yeah. He's
he does have a little bit of an edge, though. He's a little bitter.
Yeah, he's an angry fella.
He is, and he's a tough guy to get along
great
with.
Great Russian hats, though.
He rocks them. Another one of my favorite stories this week was A-Rod. Do you know what happened to A-Rod? By the way, our phone lines are open, our text line, 312-981-7200. Let me throw this question out for you. Has anyone ever had their car broken into or anything stolen out of their car? What's the most expensive thing stolen out of your car?
Oh, geez.
I think I had golf clubs stolen out of my car, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it, like, smashed open window, or are we talking just you left the door open?
In the trunk. They got them out of the trunk.
Oh, man, that sucks. I've never had anything stolen from my car.
Ever.
Ever. But then again, I drove a scooter for most of my life, so I don't know why anybody would mess with it.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to carry.
I did have DVDs and stuff stolen from my dorm room, and that really hit home. That's like, that was all I had.
Were they bootleg DVDs?
They were, most of them. But then the ones that really hurt were the ones that I bought, because that's like 10 bucks.
A-Rod had $500,000 worth of jewelry and electronics stolen from his rental car in San Francisco. I mean, what? He parked it near the stadium. I don't understand. First of all, if you have $500,000 worth of jewelry and electronics, why wouldn't you have someone either watch your car or help you bring the stuff into the stadium? I don't get it. Just crazy. $500,000 in a rental. What are you traveling with? I could see the expensive watch, but the jewelry? Crazy. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN, the Aaron Water Show, is this weekend. When you go down to the lakefront, you hear a voice that's been there for 32 years. His name is Captain Herb Hunter, and he joins us now. Herb, how are you, brother?
I'm great, Pete. How are you?
You've been the announcer for 32 years for the Aaron Water Show?
32 years. Actually, it's my 41st year with the show. I flew in at first back in 1979 in the KC-135. So I'm like a bad penny. I just keep turning up.
So, Herb, you are a pilot.
I was. I've been retired for about 5 years now.
What did you fly?
I finished up on the Boeing 747. I flew for a major airline for 36 years.
Oh, my gosh. What's it like flying a 747?
Oh, it's an incredible aircraft, and I did it to some really nice places, although Hong Kong was one of my stops, and I'm not sure I'd want to be there right now.
No, that airport, that's rough stuff.
Now, 747 is a really big airplane that can do everything. Four engines, carries 400 people, takeoff gross weight of just under 900,000 pounds. It's a big airplane, and I really, truly loved flying it. Yes, I did.
Did you pilot back in the day with the 747s when they had the bar, like, on that second floor for first class?
I did not. That was before my time.
Because you see those in the old movies, and it's like, where is that bar now? I would love to sit at that bar in an airplane. So,
Some of those, the DC-10 had one too. A couple other airplanes did them, and there are inherent problems with turbulence, just moving around and setting in a place. It's just like all the announcements that say, everybody should always keep their seatbelt at least loosely fastened. That's pretty much a true statement. So some of those things weren't quite as exotic as they look.
So the Aaron Water Show, you've been announcing for 32 years. You said you've been doing it for 41 years.
Right.
So
yeah.
Tell me about it 41 years ago. What was it like?
Well, I came on board the first time I walked on the platform. I flew in it in 79 and 80, and in 81 I walked on the platform, and for the very first time I got to meet Mr. Al Benedict, who's the gentleman who was a park district supervisor who came up with the idea for the show, and it was originally a kids' fun day. The budget for the show the first year was $88, and there was only one air act in it, and that was the United States Coast Guard Air Sea Rescue.
Oh,
and
nice.
They're still with us, but it was a family day for the kids. It was all done for the kids, and I think that's still part of the attraction of the show now, is that it brings out the kids in all of us. So it has turned into an event that's the largest event of its kind in the world, and for me to be a part of it for so long is just a real honor to be involved in this fabulous city, city of Chicago, on the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan here. It's just really great, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Can you give us an announcement what we're going to hear this weekend? Just give us a sample.
Well, you know, tell you about who's going to be there?
No, I just want to hear what you're going to announce in your announcer's voice.
Oh, in my announcer's voice. Well, here's how I start every show. It's showtime!
I remember, man. I go down every single year. It's funny because your voice carries way down the block. If you can't make it on the beach, you know, you're across Lakeshore Drive hanging out in the Gold Coast, because those planes are just massive. But tell me, this year we have a special edition. We haven't seen this fleet in 11 years. We have the Red Arrows, right?
We had the Red Arrows, first time in Chicago, and was so glad to have them here. They flew in today. They landed out at Gary, and I haven't got to meet. I met one of them in the elevator this evening, and a fine young man. He was very polite, and we're really excited about seeing them fly on both Saturday and Sunday. So they're going to be here, along with, of course, the United States Navy's Blue Angels, and, of course, the Golden Knights, and they've been a part of for so long, the F-22. We've just got a huge array of military planes and some of the finest civilian performers in the world, also with the force, and of course we've got our Susan Dacey flying a big old Super Stearman, and with me, you know, the thing that makes an air show is smoke and noise, and Susan Dacey with her Super Stearman will bring a lot of that for us.
We're talking with Herb Hunter. He'll be announcing the Air and Water Show this weekend on the lake. You should stop by just to hear his voice, I'm telling you. But I was reading about the Red Arrows, Herb, and they have a formation of 10, is that right?
Right, yeah, a lot of airplanes, a lot of beautiful colored smoke. They fill, you know, it's a trainer that can be used as a combat aircraft. It has to have some modifications, but they do a great job. And like I said, we're just so proud that when they decided to do a world tour, the very first place they came to the United States was Chicago.
Well, Herb, explain to me, because you're a former pilot, how do these men and women fly in formation so close like they do?
Well, they just have to be the best of the best. You don't, not just anybody can do it. I'd like to tell you that when I was a young pilot, I could have tried out for one of these teams and made it, but I've always flown big airplanes. In the military, I flew the KC-135 air refueling tanker, and it was a sort of a family deal with us. I was a pilot. My wife, Feruza, was actually a boom operator in the Air National Guard. But it's to fly what these guys do, you know, wingtip, overlap, and so close at high speeds, it takes the best of the best. And so there's a lot of competition, a lot of training, a lot of evaluation that they go through to be selected for this. So you know that if you're dealing with one of these people, you're dealing with a pilot that's really, really good at what he does and or what she does. And so these guys are quality people.
Have you ever seen anything that you, year after year, you've done this? You said it's your 41st year, 32 announcing, but have you seen something where you say, oh my God, I can't believe it?
Well, the things that I've seen that would be in that way are more likely weather-related. There was 10, 15 years ago, I don't remember, where we had an incredible show lineup. In fact, I think we had the Italian team here that year. I'm not positive. Anyway, it was clear in a million. You could almost see across the lake, except the ceiling was 800 feet, and it was 800 feet all day long. And we had, you know, a million people out there on the beach, and not one airplane got to fly. And it was just tragic. It was hard, too, because I tried to talk for the whole 4.5 hours. But
have you ever been in a fighter jet during one of these shows?
Oh, I have.
Okay.
During the show, no. You know, I had to train in the Air Force, so I flew the T-37 and T-38. The only time I've ever gone supersonic was in a T-38 Talon.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. But I've always been a big airplane guy.
Herb, I got to tell you, it was about 22 years ago, the air show came to Rockford, and I had the chance to go up in a plane. Mm-hmm. And the one advice that they gave me before we took off is never, ever put your head down. You'll throw up.
Always,
you got to keep me.
Always look up, right?
Yeah, keep looking outside. That's one of the reasons that pilots, you know, in the cockpit almost never get sick, because you're too busy looking outside and looking at concentrating at the instruments. And,
right.
And it seems to make a real difference, yeah.
Well, Herb, there was one point in the flight where I thought I was feeling good and the plane was doing well, and the pilot turned to me and he said, hey, I'm going to try something. He flips the plane like in Top Gun. So we're flying upside down, and then we meet the other plane, and we're directly over the second plane. So I'm upside down looking at the pilot below me and thinking to myself, oh, my God, just don't throw up. Don't throw up. I didn't even care about my life. Just don't throw up.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean,
did you make it?
It's just, of course I did. But then after that.
You mean you didn't throw up? Did you throw up?
I did not throw up. But then
Good man.
Herbie turns. Right. He turns over the plane and then kills the engine, and we go into a nosedive. I'm like, what are you doing to me? These men and women do this all the time, and they're so used to it. But, oh, my God, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
Right.
It's just...
Right. Well, at least you had fun.
Well, it's the crazy precision that you see, and just the fact that they can fly in this formation. Yeah. I know we take it for granted. We see it on TV, the pictures in the newspaper. Right. But, oh, my gosh, when you're up there and you're a few feet apart, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
It really is nuts. And by the way, you're going to be playing hurt this weekend. How's your back? Are you okay?
It's doing all right. It's doing all right. I'll be all right. I've got to take one for the team.
And are you going to be? Good Morning America is going to be out there tomorrow morning. I know it's late, but Good Morning America is going to be out there. Are you going to be out there with them?
I'm not going to be out there. I'm going to be heading down to Gary for our media day down at Gary Airport.
Okay. Well, get some sleep.
Okay.
I appreciate your time. It is Herb Hunter. He'll be announcing the Air and Water Show this weekend when you're down by the lake. Thank you, Herb.
All right. Great to be with you. Take care.
All right. It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios here at 720 WGN. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. We have a Lou Malnati's pizza to give away. If you guessed one of the things on this list, I do want to mention Aerosmith. We talked about Britney Spears earlier, her Vegas residency, and I brought up the fact that I feel like when people go out to Vegas, it's just a money grab. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that's they're getting a lot of cash. Aerosmith is playing the 5,200-seat theater at the Park MGM Hotel starting this fall. They're going to be doing 18 hits. Every single night. Well, probably not every night because they're getting up there, but most nights. So if you're planning on going to Vegas this fall, starting in October, you can see the Bad Boys from Boston. Yeah, that's right. Aerosmith in Vegas. I'd love to see that. Yeah. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. Bad habits. We were just talking about how you were taking chances in your 20s. You didn't really care about anything. What's a bad habit you should outgrow in your 30s? How about drinking wine and cocktails out of a plastic cup? My wife, her biggest pet peeve. When we have people over, I'm like, let's use solo cups. We don't want to have to do the dishes. Throw them in the dishwasher. Let's use solo. It's like, no. Especially wine glasses. She's got to use the shorty glass wine glasses for women. Like, just use clear plastic cups. It's not the same thing.
Why not?
Can I make the mixed drinks in the plastic cups? No. We're adults.
Well, maybe you are.
Maybe she's an adult. I love when people leave a party and they want to be discreet instead of taking a glass out of the house. They grab a red solo cup and walk down the street. You know, a cop is never going to notice that I have a vodka tonic in this glass just walking down the street. 312-981-7200. Bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. Drinking wine and cocktails out of a plastic glass. I don't have a problem with that. Neglecting your skin. I still do that. If you're a guy, you don't really take care of your skin. Who's putting lotion on? Who's got time for that? When we were younger, we thought we were invincible. Aging is something that happens to other people. So finding that first gray hair or a hint of a wrinkle on your face, you need to not neglect your skin. Don't neglect your skin. I don't put lotion on my skin. Come on. Matt. Oh, geez. Sorry. Matt, what's on the list? Go ahead, buddy.
Smoking.
Smoking is absolutely on the list. I feel like
horrible.
People quit smoking right before or right when they hit 40. Were you a smoker?
Yes, I was.
And when did you quit?
Like 28.
When you were
35 now.
When you were 28? Good for you, man. Wow.
I'm trying, man.
Do you ever crave it or do you still smoke?
No, I despise it. I would never start again.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, I know a lot of people that have quit smoking and now they just can't stand being around it.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's a terrible habit. And, you know, after a long time, you're just like looking at yourself in the mirror like, why am I doing this?
And you don't crave a cigarette when you have a drink?
Never. Never.
Okay. Matt, hold on. We're going to set you up with the Lou Malnati's Pizza. Remember, Lou Malnati's is...
Hold on.
Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com, which we did. We ordered from the one at Lincoln and Montrose. God, the online thing. Whoever thought of that is a genius. Habits. You should outgrow by your 30s. Ignoring your fingernails and toenails. See, this guys, they don't care. You don't go in for a manicure, do you?
Rarely.
I swear to you, my wife asked me last week, hey, how about if we both go for a manicure and just kind of hang out? I'm like, I'll hang out. I don't need to get my nails done. I don't. Number one, I don't need to spend the money on my nails because my hands are all beat up. And number two, I just don't want to go.
You wouldn't go for the experience? Just sit down and relax a little bit? Get pampered a tad?
I'd rather lay on my couch and watch TV. Who's pampering me? What are they doing? You put your hand in the stuff?
Yeah, the paraffin wax.
What?
This is the new, right?
You've done this?
I have done. Well, yeah. I had a girlfriend who brought me for my birthday to do the manicure pedicure thing a while back.
Hand over your man card. Bring it in the studio. Well, hand me your man card. I don't want anybody touching my feet. Do not touch my feet. First of all, I'm ticklish. And you don't need to scrub my feet. I scrub it. I take a shower every day.
Do you do the, they use like a metal like cheese grater on your feet?
No, I don't. That's disgusting. What are they getting? The calluses?
Mm-hmm.
That's so gross. But what happens if you exercise the next day? The calluses are gone.
Oh, yeah.
Do you get blisters?
You do. Yeah, they blister up pretty good.
Well, that defeats the purpose. I try to exercise on a regular basis. I don't want blisters.
Man. That's actually, that's a good point. Maybe I should, you know. I did it once. It wasn't the worst thing in the world. Would I do it again? Probably not. Not for me.
Are women looking at guys' fingernails?
Absolutely. I think that that's a given.
Really?
Yeah. They're holding your hand. You're talking to them. They're always watching you with, you know. I think hands are very important to a woman. And tell me if I'm wrong, listeners, but I think that that's kind of what I found.
As a guy, I look at other people's shoes. Mm-hmm. I notice shoes. So I wonder if women are looking at hands. I never thought about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about how girls wear rings and bracelets. Yeah. Hands are very important to them.
But nobody ever pays attention to a guy's hand.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, when was the last time you've heard somebody say, you always see a woman, it's like, oh, let me take a look at your engagement ring. Oh, that's beautiful. Would you ever say to a guy, hey, let me see your wedding band? No. I guess sometimes you'll say, wow, that's a cool watch that you're wearing. Can I check it out if you're a watch person? But I'm not paying attention to a dude's hands.
But they say, nice watch, and then what if you like a grizzly scar on your hand? You're going to be a little curious, right?
We are the worst. The guys are the worst. We're always dirty. Our hands are beat up, and we just don't care. Mm-hmm. Bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. Not washing your sheets and towels regularly. I swear to you, if I wasn't married, I would never wash my sheets. I always forget. Never. My wife, first of all, we have two or three sets of sheets that she rotates in.
Wow.
Different colors. Yeah. But when I was single, I had one set of sheets, and I rarely.
Just the one?
I didn't have a rotate in, rotate out set. Not, I just didn't care.
Same pillowcases too?
Yes. Is that a problem? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Like after a while they get a bit grimy, but in college definitely not. I don't think I changed
Never.
My sheets once.
Bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. Letting food go bad in the refrigerator. I mean, come on, that always happens. Mm-hmm. That still happens to a lot of people. That happened to us.
Yeah.
We had salmon this week in the refrigerator. You opened it, what's today, Wednesday? I opened it yesterday. We had salmon on Sunday. I opened the refrigerator yesterday. It stunk. There's nothing like, oh, bad fish.
That's the worst.
It's terrible.
I have hummus in my refrigerator that has been there for a year.
See, hummus never goes bad until you eat it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's bad. Throw it away.
How long do onions last, by the way? Because I've had onions in my refrigerator for the longest time. I don't know what to do with them. They're just going to sit there.
I don't know if they go bad. That's a great question.
Oh, man. We need these. If somebody could call in just for my own personal well-being.
Do onions go bad? I don't know. I think we have Dawn Jackson-Blattner on next week, a nutritionist. You could ask her.
I have a lot of questions for her, in fact.
She'll be in the studio. Yeah, that'll be nice. Habits you should outgrow by your 30s. Bad habits. Not taking out the trash. I mean, come on. I don't think a lot of people... I mean, when you're a single guy in college, no one wants to take out the trash, but I think, yeah, people are taking out the trash. Bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. Stacking dirty dishes in the sink.
I've gotten so many arguments with my roommates about that. Millions.
Dirty dish stacker.
It tears people apart.
You would think that I would be the stacker in the McMurray household. I am not the stacker.
What? What?
I do the dishes all the time. My wife is a stacker. She is. My wife's a stacker. The dirty dish stacker.
She just doesn't like to put them in the... Do you have a dishwasher?
Yes.
Oh, man. Still stacks.
Sometimes she'll rinse the dishes and put them on the counter over the dishwasher and just let him sit there.
Why?
She will test me. She's like, you can't let these sit here. And they sat there for 2 days one time. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. What are you doing? Just put them in the dishwasher. Oh, I was going to get around to it. I was going to do it. One of the things that my wife does, she's a dish stacker. And the toilet paper, she'll set on top. She won't put it in the roll. She'll put it on top of the toilet paper. Yep. And it's usually, those are usually guy things. I'm like, I hate the fact that we're reversed on this. It's terrible.
Yeah, man.
It didn't used to bother me. It's like, well wait a second. We got to have a person in the household that's going to put the toilet paper on the roll. Who's going to do it?
That's a good point.
Damn it, I caved, didn't I?
You did.
Shoot.
To be honest, I'm kind of on her side with the toilet paper. I just put it right on my bathroom countertop. I don't have a roll though.
Oh, come on, yeah, man.
I know.
Shoot.
Just laziness.
Bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. We'll hit a few more of these next. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200. We're talking about bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. We are getting some great text messages here. 773, Manny Petty is the best. Kim. We were talking about a manicure and pedicure. You got to start, one of them was ignoring your fingernails and toenails. You got to stop doing that. And I said that I don't really understand the pedi. I don't like anyone touching my feet. I don't think I'd be doing that. 412 area code, Pete, don't knock the pedi until you've tried it. Again, I don't really want people touching my feet at all. 708 area code. Not shaving your body. You do have to trim up. You got to take care of business. You do. I'm a huge believer in manscaping. And I am Lebanese, so I have to do it on a regular basis. It's rough. It is. It's terrible. You're scaping? Manscaping?
Are you asking? You're asking. I try to keep it trimmed down, I suppose. It's important. I'm German Irish, so
you're so lucky.
Gosh, man, you say that, but
you are so lucky.
I don't know how it is.
German Irish.
Yeah.
Irish have no hair. The Germans have a lot of hair.
I guess they do on my side.
Oh,
I suppose.
That's rough. Do you have hair on your back?
No hair on the back.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's.
I did laser treatment for years, and it finally took.
Really?
Yes. I lasered my back. I didn't want to be one of those guys at the pool with the big hairy back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it actually worked, because I see Groupons for that all the time, and I think about getting
it. Do it, man.
Oof.
If you have no hair on your back, you don't want to do your chest. That would hurt too much.
Yeah, because they zap it off, right?
Well, they, you know. They do zap it. It's terrible. Just imagine it feels like a rubber band hitting your skin, but a lot harder. Yeah. Oof.
I don't know if I could do, well, yeah, I don't know.
Your chest, that would hurt because it's very thick. Mm-hmm. Your back hair is thin.
I love like the old, the
back hair talk on 720 WGN. Yes.
Well, that's important. Yeah. You got to do that, especially in 2019. It's what is asked for. You see little Chris and Liam Hemsworth and all those guys. Come on. You got to keep it clean.
You do. Every guy in Hollywood has a clean chest.
Yeah, you think The Rock would walk around with like a big old burly back hair? No.
Do you think The Rock, he has no hair on his chest?
He has no hair anywhere. His head, he's flawless.
I'm so jealous.
He's like a seal.
What would that feel like, having no hair on my chest? Shirts would feel better. I mean, seriously, I have a cardigan sweater I can't take off. It's tough.
You probably lose like a two or 3 pounds.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
It does. 309 area code. Cleaning in the couch.
Huh.
Do people do that?
Cleaning in the couch. Like for
do you
the
vacuum
coins?
Your couch?
No, I don't.
I haven't really vacuumed my couch.
I remember that used to be a thing with like when I'd go to my grandparents' house, I'd always find like coins and everything, Kleenex and everything.
Right.
Dust.
But I feel like couches are made now where the cushions are so packed together that there's not a space. So you're not really losing anything in there. I don't think there's too much. Cleaning in the couch. I don't know if I've ever done that. That's interesting. Jim, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. You know, Pete, I understand the drive to want to be hairless. It's a look, but there's nothing wrong with being hairy. I think it's a beautiful thing. It's what God intended.
Well, I've lived with the hair my entire life, but I just one time. I mean, it'd be nice to put some lotion on and just kind of get rid of it. But it would look weird, though. I have hair all over my arms. I'd have a lot of hair on my arms.
You gotta be proud of yourself, man. You gotta be proud of who you are. You're a very... you know, you're a very handsome man. You just got to be proud of it.
Oh, believe me, Jim, I am. Thank you for the call.
312-981-7200
is our phone number. Yes, the hair's not going anywhere. I mean, you think, you know, we can send people up in space. We could cure some types of cancer. You think there'd be a way to stop the hair growing on your body.
You know, it's funny you say that, because this story came into my mind when you were talking about this, and it was when I was in high school. I was very, very shy. I didn't talk to a lot of girls. I didn't, you know, really go out that very often. But I remember we went to a post prom at the water park one year, and I remember the cutest girl from my high school was there. And the thing is, I had this massive hairy chest, and this is really weird to be talking about on the radio, but I had this massive hairy chest,
right,
when I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
And this girl, who didn't probably pay me any attention for 4 years in high school, saw that at the water park. She asked me out on a date 2 weeks later.
Look at that.
So maybe there's a thing. You know, maybe it's just like a...
Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I.
She did have his poster on her wall, which I thought was very strange.
Damn.
Yeah, I know.
She was attracted to Hawaiian shirts.
She did. She had that, and she had a picture of a wildebeest in her locker. And I'm like, makes sense.
How do we get on... How did we get on the hair?
We got to figure out what to fix before we turn... What is it, 30?
And things you outgrow by your 30s.
Oh, okay.
Things you outgrow. Mm. You're going to outgrow these things. By the way, the back laser thing, best thing I ever did. And I also lasered my knuckles because, and I want people to pay attention to this
wow.
because I have many uncles that had the huge hairy tusks that were coming out of their fingers. And I thought to myself, I'm doing the laser on my back. I'm going to take care of my knuckles. Yeah. The knuckles still kind of grow back a little bit, but not as bad.
That must be just like getting a tattoo, though. a reverse tattoo.
Believe me, I have hair all over my body, just not on my back and my knuckles. Other than that, so when you see me in person, say, hey, Pete, nice knuckles. Appreciate that. bad habits you should outgrow by your 30s. I thought this would be a better bit. Now we went the whole hair route. Not saving money when you have to save.
Mm.
I saved zero money in my 20s. None. Zippo. I spent everything.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got a lot of things to do.
Well, yeah, but you got to save a little. I've seen the formulas. Believe me, I have a 14-year-old right now.
Oh, no. Is he saving?
yes.
Oh.
And I'm making him work. All our kids are snowflakes nowadays. We do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're so overworked and stressed out because of homework. We were stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
I was stressed out because of homework and everything.
Ugh.
I worked multiple jobs in high school. I never had just one job my entire life. I've always juggled.
What was your like summer job you had to do every single summer?
Or I worked at a dry cleaner's, and then I would do lawns on the side, too.
That sucked. The lawns. So many.
You would get in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
You would get tan. And I love working on my lawn to this day. I love it.
See, that's good.
But edger, I got a blower, got the mower.
Did you get paid for that, though?
Of course.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a summer job. I also work at a beer distributorship, fish market. You name it, I've worked there.
Wow.
Yeah, how about you?
I did the lawns. I did a lot of shoveling concrete because Yeah, that was not too fun.
That was rough.
Doing the asphalt. And in the hot summer days in McHenry.
You're kidding.
And then and the worst was the winters because I'd shovel everyone's driveway in my neighborhood and there was this one woman, she was very nice, but her name was Mrs. Auntie, and she had the longest driveway. And Mrs. Auntie, I'd go up to her door and I'd be like, you know, as a young kid, I'd be like, I just shoveled sweating in like the cold winter.
Uh-huh.
She'd give me $2. That was it.
Oh, man.
And I was like, come on.
It's the karma train. You yeah. helped out somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I changed water meters in college for a summer job. And I interned for Debbie Alexander at WCKG. So I would change water meters in Oak Park and Elgin. And then I would drive downtown. It was in the Stone Container Building, the Diamond Building. I don't know what it's called now. And then I'd intern at the radio station at night.
Oh,
but I can
gosh.
Change a water meter in a heartbeat. You'd get paid. If you did commercial, you would get $25 a water meter. If you did residential, I think it was like 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so you try to bang out a ton of water meters in a day.
And then you would go and work at night on the radio station?
Right. Well, that's when you work for free.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd park downtown, or I'd park by UIC at my brother's house when he was going to UIC, and I'd take the train in.
Man. Yeah.
I mean, you do what you have to do to make money.
Yeah, and the best part is you don't need to go back and do that anymore.
I don't. But it's interesting how I was an intern and I was doing the exact same shift I'm doing right now. What does that say? Wow. This is rough stuff. Maybe it's time to land the ship.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for hanging out. That does it for me. Tomorrow we have White Sox baseball on, right? Okay. White Sox are going to be playing. I'm back next week. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. By the way, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Pete McMurray.